This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. Our guest is 87-year-old Vernon Conrad of Reedley, California. If that's your hometown, you can find him just about every Sunday morning at Cornerstone Community Church there. He thinks the organist in that church is pretty good. He better. That's his wife of 68 years, Marjorie. But when we left off, Vern hadn't made it home to see his young bride yet. He was headed to Japan for occupation duty.
I was in the first squad to go ashore in Wakayama. There were 10 of us on a small boat, got ashore, and for about 4 hours we went on a patrol. No guns, just walking patrol. I guess they were sent us out there as guinea pigs to see if there's going to be any resistance, which there wasn't. In fact, I never saw a Japanese person in that 4 hours. You knew they were there, but they were so hunkered down that we never saw them, and went back, and they run the LST right up against the bank, let the big door in front down, and we landed in Japan.
And how long did you stay over there in Japan before you got to come home?
I was there for a year. That time had a point system. You got points for certain things. And a lot of the men at that time had been in, you know, overseas for long periods of time. One of the fellows that I replaced had been overseas for 5 years, never been home. We were there for the duration. That's right.
And you have some good photos from that time period. And one of the photos shows you and a bunch of other soldiers standing at attention as a very familiar face walks by to inspect you. Was it nervous to have General Eisenhower looking you up and down and making sure you were doing everything right?
It sure was. At that point in my life, a general was, it just made you shake in your boots, you know. Even when you saw the car go by with those red flags on the front, why, you snap to attention. And since then, I have two fellows that I count in my friendship, or one two-star general and one one-star general, and I find they put their pants on one leg at a time just like I do. But when you're young and you're trained to do things, you do them.
Do you remember him saying anything to all the troops there, or was it something that mattered to you at the time?
Oh, yeah. He came by where I was. He never said anything, but in two or three times he did stop and talk to a soldier, ask him questions, you know, how's the food and things like that. He was interested in the well-being of the soldiers there. Not too many of the fellas wanted to speak up, you know. But he did show a real concern for the troops.
Well, and I know one of your concerns was getting home to that wife you'd only had a couple weeks with as a married couple before you shipped out. I understand that year you had in Japan gave you time to go diving for oysters. You brought home a pearl for her?
I visited Mikimoto Pearl Farm in Japan. That's the fellow who developed cultural pearls. He was 97 years old when we was there. Say, I became acquainted with an English lady who was married to a Japanese doctor. Her husband, this Kanoshita, asked us one day if we would like to, I and my buddy, would like to go to Mikimoto Pearl Farm. Well, naturally we would. The problem was that we weren't allowed to go past a certain distance from our base. We had freedom to even take vehicles and sightsee within a certain length of time, but this was over 75 miles. So we had to go to our company commander and get written permission that we could take a vehicle. So we went down there and went through the whole operation. One of the last things, we went out on a boat where they were diving for the oysters, placed a little mother-of-pearl stone in these oysters when they were small, and then they'd take them out in this lagoon and put them down on the, it's about 10, 12 feet of water. 4 or 5 years later, they'd go and dive and get these oysters. The divers were all girls. They said the girls could stay down longer than men could. They would go down with a little bucket deal, put all the oysters in that they could get, and come back up and but dumped those oysters in a tub that was floating. And each one of us, they gave us a tub with all these oysters in it. When we got back to the shore, why, then we opened up our oysters, and any of the pearls in there were we could have. So I was fortunate. I got some real nice pearls in my tub, brought them home to my wife, had a jeweler make a ring with two nice pearls on it, a necklace with the largest pearl on it, set of earrings.
So you didn't come home empty-handed. What was that moment like to see her again after all that time and all those close calls where you weren't sure you're going to make it home?
Well, I don't know. You can't describe the first time you see a person you love for a year. It just overwhelming. I want to say that she didn't really recognize me when I got home.
That sounds like a problem.
I had contracted malaria in the Philippines, and I had lost a lot of weight. I weighed around 200 pounds when we were married, and when I came home, I was less than 180. She recognized my buddy, Harry Dooley, so she knew I was going to be there somewhere. And finally, she spotted me, and of course, there was probably 1,000 GIs. When we came back, they were bringing in men as fast as they could to discharge them. When we got to Camp Beale again, there weren't any beds. So they said, all you guys that live in California, you take a 3-day pass and go home. And we did. Well, from Marysville here, it takes almost a day and a day going back, so went back 3 days and asked the lieutenant there, give us a 10-day pass, make it worthwhile. And he said, oh, I can't do that. I said, well, what happens if we don't come back for 10 days? You know, nothing if you keep your nose clean and don't get in trouble with the MPs. So I came home, went back about, I think, 8 days later. First time I was AWOL during my Army. Our luck had run out because they changed commanding officers and we were AWOL. There probably was 50 guys in there that were all in the same situation. Lieutenant got up there and gave us a big speech and give us a choice. You could have company punishment or you could have a court-martial. Well, that wasn't much of a choice. So I got on the garbage detail. They hadn't pulled our names off of the roster. The way they worked there, they over the loudspeakers, they just called out a roster, and if your name was on it, you fell into a certain place. We were picking up garbage and heard our names called. Needless to say, we abandoned ship.
Well, I know it's a long time ago, and a lot has happened since. You've grown a lot of fruit out here in Reedley since, and there are 2 kids and 4 grandkids and 3 great-grandkids. I know are real happy you came home from the war. But when you think back on it now, what are the things that you're most thankful for, that you're most proud of even?
I'm proud that I served my country, and I'm proud of my family and my wife in particular, who's been the strongest supporter I've had. I thank God that things have worked out like they have. We didn't cut a very big swath, but we've had a good life and good family. It's been a good ride.
Sure sounds like it. Well, on behalf of all our listeners, I want to say thank you for serving our country. Thank you for serving our community for all these years as well. And I can't miss an opportunity for those of us who'd like to be able to say one day we've been married for 68 years. I got to ask you your secret. How have you pulled that off?
Just learn how to say yes, ma'am. No, it's been a give and take. And like my wife says, divorce and never considered it. Murder, time or two, yes.
Good thing you had experience dodging bullets, huh?
Yeah. No, my wife has been very easy to live with. She's not been demanding or anything, and we've tried to both be somewhat the same and recognize your partner's feelings and thank God for the opportunity that we've had to live together.
Well said. I hope you'll hop on Facebook and punch in Hometown Heroes Radio. You can see what Vern and Marjorie Conrad looked like then and what they look like now. You can see his World War II uniform. He says it's shrunk a little over the years. He donated one Japanese sword to the Veterans Memorial Museum, home of the Legion of Valor in downtown Fresno, and he still has a samurai sword also. That photo's up too. But before we wrap it up, let's go back to the Philippines. You can see a couple moments where things could have ended up a lot differently for you. Somehow, your destiny was changed. Tell me about that.
When they moved us from this casual company up to 25th Division, we went up there with on a narrow gauge railroad. It was middle of the night when we arrived at where we're destination. Rain like fits. It did that quite often in the Philippines. The lieutenant called a roster out for guys to go to the signal company. And they started in A's and B's and C's. They didn't call my name. And then they called the Nadis. They called my buddy, Dooley. My heart really dropped because I felt this is where we split. We'd been together all the time since we'd been in the Army. When they got clear through to the end of the roster, he came back and called Conrad. And the only thing that I can possibly think that the good Lord just protected me at that point in time.
And the story of how you ended up being a welder goes a lot like that too. You were training to climb palm trees.
We were a construction section which laid lines and kept the lines open and repaired them. It took us out and we were training to climb palm trees so we could put some of the wires up in the trees, particularly where the heavy traffic areas were. And which I didn't think too much of that because I'm a pretty good sized guy and I thought I'd make an awful good target up in those trees. And
so they were looking for a volunteer for a welder?
Yeah, the first sergeant came out there and said, any of you guys know how to weld? And of course I didn't volunteer and nobody else did. And so finally he was standing right beside me. So I said, I know how to weld, but I'm not a certified welder. And he said, come with me. So then I became the company welder at that point in time. And most of my duties was near the division headquarters from then on. That's where we usually set up, is division headquarters had set up, and then we'd set up fairly close to division headquarters. I had real good duty. I repaired everything, enjoyed it a lot. Thankful that I paid attention when I was in high school and learned how to weld, because I'd have probably been carrying a rifle in the mud otherwise.
And you'd had a taste of that. So in a way, it's possible that welding and you're having paid attention and you're volunteering saved your life?
Could have very easily. When you're in a combat area, you have all kinds of opportunities to get hit. But I'm just thankful that those opportunities were minimized.
I don't blame you. Thanks again. That's Vernon Conrad. Check out the pictures on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. And hey, get out to Clovis Friday night and support Central Valley Honor Flight by eating a little ice cream or a lot of ice cream. Honor Flight takes World War II veterans to Washington, D.C. free of charge so they can see their memorial. And this coming Friday, August 16th, the Farmers Market in Old Town Clovis will feature an ice cream eating contest. Who doesn't like the sound of that? It's $10 to enter, and every penny will go to Central Valley Honor Flight. Thanks to Bill and Cora Shipley of the Old Hotel Bistro and Heart's Delight. That's definitely worth the drive to Clovis this coming Friday night. We're out of time for now, though. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you that freedom is not free.